Hello and welcome to The Silver King's War. I'm Michael Sievers, the writer, producer, and creator of this podcast series about my father's Second World War as a B-26 bombardier. Today we are in Scene 4 of Act 1 of The Silver King. Act 1 is entitled Stanley's War, and Scene 4 is called 1936 Fort Phaeton. It begins with Michael, the narrator. And the scene, the front of a two-seater 1936 Ford Phaeton, faces the audience. Stanley and John Sherry discuss their advanced training flying the B-17 and B-24. Stanley, John Sherry, and Herb Stempler, friends and fellow bombardiers in the Army Air Corps' Alphabet S-men, begin their drive from Carlsbad, New Mexico, to Columbia, South Carolina, for the next assignment at Columbia Army Air Base. They will report to the CAAB for advanced training on February 6, 1944. The three-week cross-country trip includes stops in St. Louis, Chicago, and Louisville. The Chicago club scenes are significant. These new officers enjoy early privileges, the perks of crisp uniform life. Stanley and his guys spent 5 months, February through June of 44, at CAAB. Life was different as an officer. They lived off base. Stanley rented a room for $30 per month in a private home at 116 Hardin Street. A nice family, he enjoyed the privacy and easy time. The 5 months included driving large planes over long rides, missions to Omaha, St. Louis, and almost Chicago. Air hours as professionals after months of training made the tedium easier. It wasn't war, but it would be soon. Ironically, Stanley, who washed out of pilot school in Lakeland, Florida in April of 43, got his check rider clearance as a co-pilot at CAAB. Now the King knew that driving a B-17, B-24, 25, or B-26 was possible and within his reach. The training was thorough and mysterious because the crews didn't know their war destination. Europe or the Pacific made men edgy. That tension dissipated in mid-June when orders arrived to pack and report to Shreveport, Louisiana, for advanced training on the B-26, the Martin Marauder. Stanley and JJ, both pulled from their respective crews, will now go to the European theater of operations. The Silver King was happy and closer to his imagined war. The B-26 move for additional training meant that these men, probably destined for Operation Overlord on D-Day in June, would not reach Europe until the fall of 1944. These delays and mysteries increase the odds of survival for Stanley and J.J. Sherry, who will fly in an advanced European war. Stanley's original class at CAAB left without him. He didn't have the flight hours to depart. Columbia, South Carolina is filled with military personnel. Stanley is lonely. He's met J.J.'s wife. They socialize and offer the King a strong, easy family connection. Many men marry during training, and the King writes wistfully about his loneliness. He battles the demanding Sarah Bell about marriage. She's adamant. Perhaps, Stanley thought, she'll acquiesce about buying a car. This is Michael reading from a letter his father wrote on Thursday, March 2nd of 1944. From Columbia, South Carolina. Dearest ones, I've been terribly busy the past few days. Tuesday morning, my orders came through assigning me to this field. So, since then, all my time has been taken up with processing into the squadron. I was assigned to the 377th Squadron of the 309th Bomb Group. It is supposedly the best squadron on the field, so I'm fairly well satisfied with it. Classes will probably start Sunday, and after a few days of brushing up on navigation, I'll begin flying. Frankly, I'm anxious to start working again. It got tiresome waiting around. It was good talking to you. It only took 10 minutes to get through, which was surprising. Well, I could tell from the way you talked that you wouldn't approve of my getting married. I shall not argue with you, for I think you know how I feel, and besides, I doubt if it would do any good. From past experience, you've always known best, and this probably wouldn't be an exception to the rule. Nevertheless, I would like to get married, but don't worry, I wouldn't do anything of which you disapprove. It's now more than ever that I want things I never had before. I want to see and do things I never could. I'm sure you can understand my reasons for this. If I can't get married, then I want to put my money to the next best advantage. I'm not going to attempt to save any money while I'm still in this country, because there will be the chance to do it when I go across. Consequently, after learning of your attitude towards my marrying, I've decided to buy a car. That's something I never had and have always wanted very much. And now when I'm free to go wherever I want to, when I'm off duty, I could get a great deal of pleasure out of it. And not only pleasure, but it would come in handy here on the base. Things are separated, something terrible. You will no doubt think I'm crazy with all these ideas, that I don't know what I want. Well, you're partly right. It's the things I've never had before. I went to a few used car lots with hopes of getting one half decent, but was sadly disappointed. The prices they ask are impossible, way out of my reach. I knew used cars were expensive, but I sort of think they add on a few $100s because of the uniform. I'm wondering if you could help me out on the deal. You probably know some dealers, and I'm sure you could make a better buy than I. Of course, I don't want anything too expensive, just one that will get me where I'm going. And gas wouldn't be a problem at all. I can get all I want. Here's the way I figure you could work it. Borrow the money from the bank to buy it and use the car as collateral. Then I could send you the money monthly to pay the bank. I can spare about $75 a month or maybe more. That's the way I was going to work the deal if I had decided to buy. When you do buy it, you can drive it up here when you come to see me. I'm sure you could get gas from the board to do so. Please let me know immediately if you can do it. If you can't, then I will see what I can get done here. Please send my electric razor now, and don't forget the plug. You'll find my new address on the envelope. And tell Theo I appreciated her letter and will write soon. I will have that picture taken on my first day off. Keep well and write soon. Love to Ida. I love you and I miss you. Stan. As the Silver King's son, I know that Stanley had an incredible appreciation for great cars, and throughout his life, he had some big rides. But the transaction for this car never happened. Stanley had a deal and asked his dad for a $350 loan. The seller was shipping out and sold it before Stanley had the money. The car idea was Stanley's counteroffer to his parents. He was lonely, young, living off base, thinking of marriage. Sarah was firm. He must wait for his war's end. The Phaeton became his focus, his rationale, a dubious distance to the flight line. As the lights go up on this scene, the king is mad, and that's unusual. And he begins, "Damn it, JJ, I really wanted the Phaeton. If I can't get married, at least the car could keep me company. I'm a convertible man at the edge of 21. And JJ, "I know it's tough, King. You can ride with me any time. We love having you at home." And the King, "I am grateful, but I'm an officer and need wheels for the flight line and ladies. Most of the guys are married and have cars, and I'm 0'2". I am really mad." And JJ, trying to help the King calm down a bit, "Your mother is tracking you. Maybe we could loan you the money if another car comes into view." And the King, "I appreciate the thought. I made a strong car case during my Birmingham leave, and my folks seem to understand. And now this heartbreak." And JJ, "Well, Stan, you need a longer view. We may live through the war and come home. Imagine life then. Marriage, cars, kids, good things. And the king. JJ, you're right. I'm just frustrated, ready for life to move. We are warriors in limbo. I know it's wrong to be so selfish, but I am. My horizon view from the greenhouse is filled with an unknowable future. I want to live faster now, in case I don't have another chance. And JJ, the king's wise advisor, I understand you're in a hurry, Stan. Often, however, I wonder about our need to hustle when we should pause to appreciate every day. The future is unclear. Let's focus on the now. As the lights go down on this scene, Michael reads a letter his father wrote on Tuesday, June 12, 1944, from Columbia, South Carolina. Mother dearest, please forgive me for not writing. I'm ashamed of myself because I have a good excuse. For the past week, with no work, I've just been raising hell. I do hope you're all well and Richie has fully recovered from his operation. Thanks for sending the wire. Tonight, I've been busy packing, for tomorrow I hit the road again. Today, I received orders to proceed immediately for Barksdale Field at Shreveport. It's what I've been hoping for, and now that it has come, I am really happy. It means I will get a B-26 and go to the European Theater of Operations. Everything surely happens for the best. Of course, I haven't any idea as to how long I will be there because I know nothing about the training. It's now that I wish I had a car. I've got so much junk, I haven't room for it all. It will cost me a fortune to ship it by express. I haven't had time to check on the trains, but I can imagine what it will be. I'll probably get there in about a week. I'll write as soon as I arrive. Tomorrow is your anniversary, and my heartiest congratulations are yours. I wish you many more, with each succeeding being happier. I only regret I can't be with you to celebrate. Next year we'll have a real party. I don't know if Dad is there with you. In any event, give him the news of my transfer. Have lots of fun and keep well. My love to all. I love and miss you, Stan. This is the end of scene 4 of The Silver King, and you are listening to The Silver King's War.